Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape. It's Lonnie the Theater Lady, Pittsburgh's own.
Hi, Brian.
Theater celebrity. How you doing?
I'm happy to be here.
Loving the leopard print.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that one finger was a little more prominent.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know. Whatever.
What do you want to talk about?
I am delighted to be able to talk about The Old Man and the Sea.
Yes, a good old classic tale. Yeah.
Yes, based on the Ernest Hemingway novel from 1952, which I think this is pretty amazing. Not only won a Pulitzer Prize, but a Nobel Prize.
All right, so yeah, it's pretty good.
It's a pretty good story.
We were all forced to read it in high school, but I don't remember much about those days. Can you remind me a little bit about what happens in this? I assume it involves the sea.
And an old man.
And a man of advanced years.
Yes.
So please elaborate.
It's the story of a Cuban fisherman, Santiago, who has come across some bad luck and hasn't caught a fish, excuse me, for going on 85 days.
Yeah.
And he's worried about his luck. He goes out to sea, and I won't spoil it, but he gets a fish.
This is a rollicking good time.
Well, you know, it's reading the book, which we all had to do, as you said.
Yeah.
I found kind of boring, but I was a kid. I think we were all forced to read that book when we were way too young to really appreciate all the nuances and everything.
I feel the same about Shakespeare, too. I think when they force it on you
in
high school, it's like, oh, your brain just shuts off and you don't want to have anything to do with it, you know.
And I know people are going to, like, be astounded when I say this, but this was actually an exciting production.
Now, why would they be astounded?
Because if you read the book,
it
feels a little like a snooze if you read it as a kid. But there was a lot of excitement. Anthony Crivello plays the old man. And his list of accomplishments and his bio is a mile long. Theater, stage, screen, television. He was actually the Phantom in the Phantom of the Opera in Las Vegas, among many other astounding accomplishments. And I can see why. He was wonderful.
Yeah, in Vegas, really the mask is sequins.
That's probably. I didn't see it there.
No, I don't know.
That's
probably totally not true.
Probably is. But it was such a coup, I think, to have him here doing that role. One of the most amazing parts of this for me was the video projection. It was huge, along two back walls, and coupled with the sound of the waves, and when you were in a place where the sea was calm, it was a quiet little whisper of the waves, and then when it was a more powerful sea, you heard the, and it was so
you were transported.
You were, and on the floor, there was also a projection of the sea, and I happened to be lucky enough to sit in the front row. And sometimes I kind of forgot that I wasn't on the beach or on the ocean. It was amazing. And the birds flying by and with the sound with the birds chirping.
I'm going to see if I could do something like that for my living room. You know, that'd be great for parties.
It'd be wonderful. And it was so impactful and so real. And the boat was out on the sea, and when he was battling with a fish that he was catching, the lighting on the sea, when they talked about the sea turning red, the lighting turned red. It was just technically, it was really, really a coup, and it wasn't like disco lights and flashing. And
although that would have added a certain cachet to this Hemingway classic.
No, it made it feel so authentic and so real.
Yeah.
And the adaptation, this I thought was amazing, was written by A.E. Hotchner, who happens to be 100 years old and a very good friend of Hemingway. They have, they've been together, you know, they ran the bulls in with the bulls in Pamplona. They fished together off the coast of Cuba, which is where this story is set.
That is a good friend. I mean,
I think if
you run the bulls together, like, you're connected for life. That's like the ultimate buddy thing to do. Let's put that on our list.
Okay, we'll do it.
Let's run the bulls together.
I'm going to wear roller skates, though. I won't be able to roll.
Oh my God, that'd be even more hysterical. I think let's roller skate from the bulls of Pamplona. Because like, after you go through something like that with somebody, you are like bonded for life.
That's for sure.
That's going to be like our Berg Vivant retreat.
Okay.
Do you think everybody would be down for that? Hey, we're going to go to Pamplona. We're going to go jogging. Let's just say that.
We won't tell the truth. Oh, man.
I would not leave you behind, though. Okay.
Thank you. That's good to know.
Yeah.
I might leave you behind.
I would just make sure you're wearing red and like they can go out.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And then I'll write a play about it.
Oh, gosh. When you're 101.
Oh, yeah, well, like, yeah, it's not too far off.
I just thought it was wonderful that this man, who was a dear friend of his, wrote this adaptation along with his son, Tim. Now, this was...
With Hemingway's son or this guy's own son?
No.
Okay.
Tim Hotchner, A.E. Hotchner's son.
Gotcha.
They did this together. And another thing that was really wonderful about this was how the adaptation approached it, because actually Hemingway was a character in this play. So sometimes he was narrating. That was David Cabot, and he kind of looked Hemingway-ish. I like the casting on that. And sometimes he was narrating, and sometimes he was actually typing on a typewriter the play as it was unfolding in front of our eyes. It very well acted by everybody. And the young man, Manolin, was Gabriel Florentino, and he had a wonderful friendship with the old man, and I loved their chemistry together and how much they cared about each other, and it was lovely. And here's the really cool part that you would never expect. There was a cellist on the stage the entire play. That was Simon J.C. Cummings. He's a part of Cello Fury, the group in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And his music, it was all original, and it created the mood. It sometimes was exciting and made you feel like you were on the edge of your seat. Sometimes it was kind of maudlin and made you really sad or worried. It was almost like another character. At one point, the cello was a bird. I can't even explain this, but I will say that I always thought this was kind of a boring book. So I thought, we'll see what happens. We'll go. And it was exciting. And it's kind of historic because it's the inaugural professional performance at the new Pittsburgh Playhouse. This was their first, so that's kind of historic. And I guess Ron Lindblom, you just mentioned earlier, is leaving the Playhouse.
Yes, and I did see that in the news recently.
So I guess this was his last hurrah, too. What a wonderful goodbye to him to produce something so exciting and unique and original and creative. Even if you don't like the book, you will love this show for all the originality and technical reality, and sometimes there's even some immersive scene that happens.
You get your feet wet.
That would be funny.
Really,
no.
Immersed in the water. Probably the most economical beach vacation you can get in Pittsburgh in the dead of winter.
That is absolutely right.
How's that?
I was even warm. Sky changing at night, you know, the moon and the storm.
It's a virtual vacation, yeah.
Yeah. It felt a little bit like a virtual reality experience.
Huh?
Not quite that immersive, but yeah. I highly recommend it. Highly, highly.
As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.